It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than bad press. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And the returning Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Pip. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Hi.
On the show, ESPN's Jermail Hill gets suspended, Donald Trump's bad press, and should we celebrate Columbus Day? I understand it's after Columbus Day, but we weren't here before it, so deal with it. We're going to discuss.
Strap in, folks.
It's going to be really weird today.
After that 4th of July talk.
Sure.
I just came back from Italy, and as usual when I'm out of the country, there are horrible mass casualties.
Well, of course.
When I was in Aruba, there was Sandy Hook.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
When I was in the Bahamas, I think there was like the first Paris attack.
Oh, my God.
When I was away last time, I think it was one of the England attacks. So it's either I'm going away a lot, or there's a lot of attacks.
I think you should stay home for the good of the country.
Yes, I think we should.
Then I'll mean you're exposed to me more. Is that are you sure that's what you want?
He's going to take one
safety
for the team.
Safety for others, yes.
Yes.
You are a superhero.
That's right.
He was being very altruistic with that whole idea.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts in the show. But anyway.
Oh, your breath.
Exactly. But this time, it was Vegas. When I landed,
yeah,
two people killed in Vegas, gunmen at large, and then, of course, we knew it was 59 people killed, over 500 injured. So that was developing. So I'm in Italy, and I immediately noticed that stationed throughout the country, throughout the cities, were military soldiers. They usually had a Humvee, and there'd be like two guys with rifles, and they would talk to people. It wasn't like they wouldn't talk to people; like you could go up to them and talk to them.
Right.
But they were stationed throughout the area, and I noticed this in Cuba too.
Right.
But in Italy, it's there for the terrorist threat.
Right.
In Cuba, I don't know why it's there. I didn't really ask. But, you know, when I first saw it, it startles me.
Yeah.
Because we're not used to it, because we don't see our military on the street.
Well, yeah, right. It depends. As a New Yorker, in Penn Station,
yeah.
You see
we see police
it.
With rifles. But if you travel
You also
through,
see National Guard in there, too, with
but
M16.
But we didn't used to.
No, we didn't.
No, after 9/11,
but if you
yeah.
travel throughout the other parts of the country,
you don't see it.
You don't see that on the street. But this is, like, all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I usually found that startling and jarring.
Yeah, I would too.
In the past. I don't anymore. I actually find it comforting.
Yeah.
Because it's the world we're living in now.
Yes.
Right.
You know, and the world, and it, to see people standing guard gives you essentially a feeling of comfort on it. It's just the way it is. It's not good. You know, it's not, but it is what it is. And
I feel much better about, I would feel better if our military was on our streets with rifles, then I do with average citizens walking around with weapons. Maybe it's because I trust government more than a lot of people do. Maybe. But I these guys are trained.
Like the training aspect.
Yeah, these guys know what they're doing. They know the mission. They know what to look for. They know the signs. And they know how to shoot to kill.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to protect me better than the good guy with the gun. Or the bad guy who's walking around with the gun. If there's the bad guy walking around with the gun, I want the military there. And again, as Joe said, it's the times that we live in. I wouldn't have thought like that. I probably wouldn't have thought like that even after, maybe before 9/11. I don't remember how I felt after 9/11. But certainly now with all the massacres that we're having domestically and with the terrorism that's happening, for the most part, abroad, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
We've been relatively fortunate.
It wasn't really happening in America so much, but now it's...
I mean, there was San Bernardino,
mm-hmm.
obviously, but there's nothing you could do to defend
but
that.
But would you think with obviously having armed, you know, military, you know, either National Guard or military there, it would be a deterrent as well? But if it was known that there could be a amount of populace that are armed, it may deter a terrorist attack. For the simple reason, thinking like a terrorist would, that they couldn't kill or hurt as many people as they might be killed quicker when they started the altercation.
Well, I think, first of all,
it's a horrible way to think, but thinking in that demented
mind. I also
mind,
think, though, the military is a target for a terrorist. Mm-hmm. So if the if you're a terrorist, and I'm not talking about like one of our domestic, like the Vegas guy,
right?
I'm not talking about him.
No.
But if you happen to be a foreign terrorist, whether you're born in this country or not, but if you affiliate with ISIS, whatever, it's always bonus points when you kill our military or the police.
Right.
I mean, citizens are always fun to kill, but those are soft targets.
Like right.
So, like they are actually, I would think they would be drawing that type of evil towards them. So in that way, I'm comforted as well. Obviously, I don't want to see any of them get hurt or killed or anything like that.
No, nobody thinks you're saying that.
But I do think, I think it's a deterrent for bad people. Now, obviously, if it's like Vegas and you're up, you know, 32 stories high,
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter how many military people you have.
That was something that is horrible. That's something, and we don't have the time to get into it, but there's something that it's going deeper than that. Something's up with that.
Yeah.
I mean, the conspiracy theories are really coming fast and furious, but they're just
they're revealing more. People like to jump to conclusions. Right.
But it just seems that there's something weird about this whole thing. Where
why? Because it was an old white guy who showed no signs. He had 40 guns.
But it just seemed that he didn't have an agenda with something. You know, it just seems that when a killer does that, it's not as premeditated. They do.
He was on Valium. Now Valium is a drug. Where if you have mental issues, it can bring out the aggression in you. They've shown that.
So, oh,
you know that's a whole different conversation. I don't know if I necessarily. I don't want to get.
I understand.
So
there were things,
and I would be a red flag for me. Is I don't think anybody needs 40 guns, but that's just me.
Well,
not
I have
to the extent
to say,
he had it. Yeah.
I mean, here's the problem with our country now. People are like, well, the security in hotels. The hotels are not the issue. I mean, hotels all the time. Hotels are not the issue.
No.
It's the people in the hotel that are the issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not I don't need a full cavity body search when I check into the Motel 8 or 6 or whatever number we're up to.
8, but I'm looking forward to that, actually.
No, it's the Super 8 Motel 6. I've stayed in enough of these flea bags. I should know.
You should know the numbers of them.
That's not the point. I am now more nervous in being in public places in the United States than I have in the past, as these massacres have happened.
In crowded places.
Just places where, like New York City. Like, even when I'm in clubs in New York City, honestly, since what happened with Paris and everything, because there's no security. Somebody could walk in and just start spraying fire. And, you know, you're the guy on stage, whatever, so you're definitely going to get it. You know, I get nervous. I mean, obviously, I'm still in the clubs in New York City all the time.
Right.
But it's a thought I never had. It's because, as Joe said, it's the times we live in.
Honestly, even with the armed presence of military and the police, I don't feel a better sense of security in this day and age, because I think that if somebody has it in their mind that they're going to just go wild and attack people in a public place, their goal is to take out more people than less, it seems to be, but I don't think that it's a deterrent from it starting.
Well, in the USA, we have this distrust of government. It's in our nation's DNA.
Yeah.
It's how we were formed.
Yes.
So I think whether they'll take our guns or turn on us and try to kill us, it's a reason many want to have guns. They think, well, they're going to turn on us, you know, which is never
mm-hmm.
really a good argument in my mind, because I always say, well, unless you have like a stealth bomber, you know, in your driveway and you have the MOAB, the MOAB, in your basement, they got better equipment than we do.
Yes.
So, I mean, at this point, it's not like the old days when everybody had a musket and, you know, you didn't trust
We're going to hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, it's
you
not
know,
like
man.
That
But
anymore.
Still, if to have an armed populace like that is still a deterrent for a government to turn tyrannical. And
I don't think so at all.
I do. And also, it would be, and if it ever got to the point that the government would go against their own people, it would certainly bring down everything that they were trying to accomplish.
Well,
to be
I mean,
tyrannical.
I look at it like this. If you really think our government, whoever the administration is going to turn on you and kill its citizens, you should probably move from the country. I mean, it's probably, if you distrust our, like if somebody distrusts Donald Trump that much, where he thinks that Donald Trump is going to turn the armies on us, or the police on us, you should move.
Well,
and the same thing about when it was Obama,
I mean,
or
but
whatever.
There are instances as Waco. Other instances.
Oh, certainly, there's mistakes.
Philly, where they killed all those innocent people.
Yeah, sure, there's mistakes.
You have that. Those are instances where you can make the argument, well, you know, they turn on that. So those are ways that they do. You know, when they decide.
Right, but I don't think they're gonna march into our houses and make us obey. That's my point. Like, I don't think that's
I don't see that happening anytime soon.
So are we a nation awash in guns? We know. Yeah. We know this. There was a lot of guns in a lot of people's hands. So I want to go over some of the Italian laws.
Oh, okay.
Real quick over here. Because they do not seem to be. We have a lot of massacres. We know this. There's no getting around this now.
Right.
And the fact that we're talking about hotel security just means that the people who don't want to talk about guns have worked their magic yet again. Mm-hmm. So to legally purchase firearms in Italy, one must either obtain a, quote, purchase authorization, which allows the holder to purchase and own a firearm but not carry or use it, or be issued with a carry license first. A firearm purchase authorization is mostly used today to inherit a deceased close relative's arms. So, you know, if somebody passes away, they can pass it down to you.
You can get grandpa's rifle.
Right. It's not so much the buying like we do where we go to Walmart or a gun store, yeah, whatever. To obtain either a license, applicants must be 18 or older, prove they can handle and use a firearm safely, usually by obtaining a certificate from a shooting range after attending a practical shooting course. I don't know if we have something like that? Because I know there's some of the states are very stringent. New York's very stringent.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
there's some where it's like, well, you take an hour course of nothing and you get your gun.
Well, wow, yeah.
So I don't – so this is their nation's policy, which I kind of like. I've said I would like a universal policy, whether it's the most stringent or the least stringent, maybe something in the middle.
But you need some training. It's like, yeah, you need training to drive a car.
Yeah, I've always been for that. Declare to have a clean criminal record. I don't think we have that here.
I think you can't have a criminal record.
Yeah,
you can't,
I don't think
you can't get a gun with
no
a criminal
felonies
record.
Verification will be made by police authorities. Well, a clean criminal record is different than felonies.
No, I know. I understand that.
Let's see. Must not be mentally ill or be known to or known abuser or addicted to alcohol or illegal drugs. Well, now we know that the Trump administration has rolled back the Obama rule that affected 10,000 people, where if you were mentally ill, mm-hmm, you could not have a gun. Now, if you are deemed to be mentally ill, you can have a gun.
And why would you want that?
Because it's a constitutional right. But I would argue that so is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So, you know, I don't know.
I don't even know if I brought it. There was a good article on somebody that did have.
Right. No, there was a guy who was mentally ill who argued for him.
He wrote, I read that piece.
Okay. I read most of the piece,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
But again, you know what? In this case, for me, the good of the many outweighs the good of the few. I'm sorry. In that sense, yeah. Because basically, if you're mentally ill, you decide to not take your meds. And it happens all the time.
It does.
People decide, I'm not taking my meds today. That's when bad things happen.
Yes.
So, I think a lot of gun owners, I think a lot of gun owners agree with me on that.
Yeah, ask my husband.
No, but I think a lot of gun owners.
Was he crazy?
No, when you stop taking your meds, bad things happen. That's
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but no, it's just the way it is. I think a lot of gun owners do not want mentally ill people to be.
I should think not.
I mean, it's not everybody.
No.
But I think most of us agree. So that's the Italian law. You can't be known abuser of addicted to drugs or alcohol or illegal drugs. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have anything like that.
No.
Other grounds for refusal of a carry license include being a conscientious objector or living with persons who may gain access to the firearms and abuse them, e.g. living with family members who are mentally ill, alcoholic, or drugs. Now, we saw that in Sandy Hook. The mother was a licensed gun owner, but the crazy son got the guns
from her.
So if we had that law here, theoretically, Sandy Hook doesn't happen. Now, you could argue, well, she would still get the guns illegally. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know.
Right.
But it would certainly be another hurdle.
But the stat is on the gun crimes that are committed in Italy, how many are committed with illegal guns?
I don't have that stat. I'm sure we could find it. But anyway, gun laws in Italy incorporate the political and regulatory aspects of firearms usage in the country within the framework of the European Firearms Directive. Different types of gun licenses can be obtained from the national police authorities. According to a 2007 study by the Small Arms Survey Project, the per capita gun ownership rate in Italy is around 12%, with an estimated 7 million registered firearms in circulation. We actually have more guns, I think, than citizens, but it's a smaller population that owns it. Like, people who have guns tend to have a lot of guns.
Yeah,
like I think gun ownership is down, but the people who have guns are getting
collectors.
More...
Well, yeah, they're collect.
I don't
collectors.
Know. Well, so was this guy from Vegas. Well, he collected 40 of them.
Here's the difference. My brother has a bunch of guns. He lives on a farm. A lot of people live in rural areas have different hunting rifles.
Well, this covers it. I want to get to it. Right. It covers it. So citizens are allowed to own up to three common firearms, usually handguns, but all firearms not used hunting calibers fall into this category,
mm-hmm,
such as 10-gauge shotguns or some 22 rimfire pistols and rifles, up to six weapons that have been classified as manufactured for shooting sports by the National Proof House, an unlimited number of hunting weapons, both rifles and shotguns, up to eight antique or historical weapons manufactured before 1890,
mm.
Unlimited numbers of single-shot muzzle-loader replicas for which no registration is needed.
Mm-hmm.
Unlimited numbers of air guns under the 7.5 joules of, I don't know what this is, of muzzle energy, specifically approved by the Ministry of Interior, which require no registration as well. Ammunition is also regulated. While each licensed individual can keep 1,500 rounds of hunting ammunition, only 200 rounds of handgun ammunition are allowed. A license to store additional 1,500 rounds of pistol ammunition can be obtained, provided specific requirements are met. Ammunition purchases must also be registered. So they're going to let you have stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to make sure of what you have. Now, again, you can always get stuff illegally. But I mean, it's not like Italy is like, you can't have guns, you can't have ammunition. They just want to know what's going on. And again, I would argue if we were monitoring this guy in Vegas, who very quickly stockpiled 40-some-odd guns, maybe we don't have the tragedy we had.
Right.
Maybe. Now, pro-gun people will say, well, we have laws, we just need to enforce them, to which I say, yes. I agree with
yes.
you.
Yes.
We do
also
need to enforce them.
You know,
them.
With just the element to kill, I mean, we might as well outlaw or regulate Dodge Sprinter vans. Because there's been instances in the past several months across the world where people have jumped on sidewalks and killed a whole bunch of people with
a truck. Yeah, but not 500. Not that's different.
Yeah, no.
A gun is designed to kill.
But
listen, crazy is always crazy.
But in the hands of somebody that wants to kill any object,
but here's,
is
listen, I've said kill. I've said with driver's licenses, we should be going every couple of years.
Yeah,
they should be checking our mental capacity. I mean, it's a privilege.
Well, especially older people.
Right,
see
it's
if
a
you
privilege
can still
to drive.
Do it.
Listen, if I don't see them all there, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be behind a wheel. Because you know, if I seem a little nefarious, maybe I need some more testing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shut up, Joe. A hunting license, along with a special hunting permit issued by the region of residence, allows to carry hunting weapons only during hunting season and only within game preserves.
Oh, interesting.
When transporting them outside game reserves, the shotguns must be kept unloaded and locked in their case.
That's pretty much anywhere.
Really?
I don't know. Oh, well, no. I mean, you can bring your guns anywhere. Yeah, I mean, I guess you're supposed to keep them
on
case. I don't know how you regulate that unless you pull somebody over, and, you know.
I mean, do people still drive around with, like shotguns on racks in their truck?
I don't know. I'm assuming they do.
Sometimes.
Where you live, sure.
Quick story. My brother and my nephew came down a couple of years ago, and we go to the bagel place, and I go, my brother's like, jump in my car, go in there, and there's a loaded shotgun in there. We live in rural upstate New York. They're down in Long Island.
Right.
And I'm like, maybe you want to leave this here? Nah, that's fine. I'm always going to touch it. You know, so I'm like, I'm saying to myself, I hope I don't get pulled over. We don't get
yeah,
pulled
really?
Over. Now, the one thing is, if we get pulled over, we're going to get in trouble. But I said to myself, if I get pulled over, the person I would have to call is my brother to explain what happened, but I don't have to because he's behind the wheel. But it's a different, you see, it's a different thinking of rule upstate.
Totally.
You do it upstate, you know, they hunt. They're hunters. It's land. It's farm. You know, that's the culture up there. Down, you know, on Long Island,
but
it's a little different.
I think there's something to be said for a hunting weapon.
Right.
Versus an AR-15. I get the hunting weapon.
But essentially a hunting weapon is the same thing as an AR-15.
No,
it is. It's just a jazzier version of the gun.
No, you can get off a lot more shots quicker with an AR-15. If you're not going to use that
you
on
can,
a deer.
You can get the same amount of shots, and we're not talking with a bump stock on it. You can, and it is proven, and it's been shown, that essentially an AR-15 is essentially a cool-looking version of a sophisticated hunting rifle.
Well, I don't know any hunters that blow a bunch of bullets into an animal they're trying to hunt indiscriminately, because they either want it for the meat or the pelt. They're
right.
They're not trying to put a bunch of holes in it. They're pretty precise in what they do.
Yeah, and besides, what's the sport in like just blasting it full of like this
yeah,
20
I mean,
holes?
I mean, listen, yeah, I mean,
yeah, right. You got Bambi dead to rights.
So look, there's a lot more laws here, but I think it's an interesting way that they deal things with the military on the streets.
Mm.
And with some of these restrictions that they have that they don't have, and they don't have the incidents that we have.
Right.
I mean, and we do have a problem, and people that don't want to talk about it, you know, they don't want to talk about it, and there's never going to be a good time to talk about it.
Right.
But that's why, you know, thoughts and prayers don't really mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
Thoughts and prayers help. Thoughts and prayers do nothing.
Yeah.
So it's definitely definitely a different way to look at things. I think there's things worth considering, and you know, I think the mentally ill. I think it's a mistake by the Trump administration.
I do too.
I mean, I can't. I mean, I get it. It's your Second Amendment right. But listen, man, there's something not firing on all cylinders in your head. I'm sorry.
You want to give them something that you know, they don't know how to control themselves and give them something to hurt people with.
Oh, hurt themselves. I mean, two-thirds of gun deaths are suicide.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're going to hurt themselves, you know. Yeah. And, the government should, you know, stop people from hurting themselves. Yeah, I get that, but we do. That's why we all wear seatbelts.
Yeah.
You know, that.
My father committed suicide with a shotgun, and clamping down on gun control.
You used to be. You used to want gun control. See, that's changed. You're shifting more right. You used to want certain gun control.
Well, certain gun control, not, you know.
Well, you just said you don't want gun control.
I said certain gun control.
Now you did.
No, certain gun control. Let me refine that.
You want the mentally ill having it?
It depends. They had to do a background check on a person and find out.
They found these 10,000 people that they thought should not have guns.
Yeah.
10,000 people.
Mm.
I think we'd be all right with them. We still got 300 million citizens. I think we keep 10,000 people from having guns. They'll be okay.
Yeah, certain people that definitely should not have.
Listen, I don't have a pilot's license. We've all gotten over it. You know, I want to fly, but apparently I'm not qualified.
I was hoping we were going to fly down to Myrtle Beach to do that gig. Now we're going to take the car because I was planning on
you flying. We're going
to take the Vespa.
All right, we'll be back. We're back. You're listening to Davin's Den. So Jermell Hill of ESPN was suspended. We talked about this.
Yeah,
we talked about Jermell Hill, I'm going to say a month ago. So she dodged suspension last month when she tweeted that the president was a white supremacist. She apologized for using her ESPN Twitter for the tweet and putting her company in a bad spot, but she never apologized for her message.
Right.
You know, at that point I said, you know, if ESPN suspended her, I wouldn't really find fault with them. I could see why they would or why they wouldn't.
I could kind of see. I could see why they would.
I could see why. You know, it's, you know, using your little ESPN handle and you're calling the president of the United States a racist and a white supremacist. I understand why you think he is. I get that, but you're still doing it. So if they would have suspended her, I would have gotten it. You wouldn't have gotten an argument from me saying how dare they fire Jermell Hill for this offense. Now they did not fire or suspend her, and she got a lot of flack. You know, mm-hmm. people called ESPN left wing. The White House came out saying that she should be fired. They caught a lot of flack,
right,
for not doing anything. So this time it's a bit different, though. Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, said the following: he would bench any players who, quote, disrespect the flag. I just got to go off on a sidebar. This is an unrelated topic, but I must add that Jerry Jones. No, listen, it ties in. But for Jerry Jones, listen, hear me out. But for Jerry Jones is the same guy who happily employed Greg Hardy, a football player who physically tortured his girlfriend. So Jerry Jones, as the beacon of virtue, is a little tough for me to swallow.
Right.
But he's saying, listen, if you disrespect the flag, you're not playing. I don't believe him for 1 minute if it's a star quarterback.
No.
I don't believe him for 1 second. But he's the owner of his team. He's got the right to say that if he feels that way. If he feels what you're doing is disrespecting and you're wearing his uniform,
right,
he can suspend you. I got no problem. I think he's full of it.
Yeah.
I think if you're the fifth wide receiver, you're going to get suspended.
Yes.
But I think if you're Dak Prescott, oh, I didn't see it. I was looking at the broad over there. You know, but okay. It's his team. It's his right.
I was looking at the broad over there.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I got no problem with Jerry Jones saying that, if that's how he feels. So Jermell Hill tweeted out this: change happens when advertisers are impacted. We sure know that.
That's true.
If you feel strongly about JJ's statement, boycott his advertisers. Don't place the burden squarely on the players. Which tweet was more controversial? The one where she called our president of the United States a racist and a white supremacist? Or, if you're really upset with Jerry Jones, you know, boycott the advertisers. Which one is the more controversial statement?
Definitely the white supremacist president.
Yeah, I think when you call our president a bigot, that's a
much bigger deal.
This is not offensive.
And this was the straw that broke the camel's back. This.
Well, I think that's... Well,
right, and that now, the key thing to this whole thing, was it on her personal Twitter or was it on her Twitter account with ESPN?
You know, it never really specified.
Because if it was on a personal Twitter, we could sit here till the cows come home and debate this.
Right.
If it was on the ESPN Twitter,
right,
suspended.
Yes.
So suspended.
Well, yes. I think what it really comes down to is this. ESPN owns the rights to Monday Night Football. ESPN has a lot of NFL generated shows. I think this game, this is bad for our business.
Yeah.
Don't say boycott the advertisers, because they're advertising on ESPN too. So I don't think this is ESPN's had enough of Jemele Hill and what she's. This is purely a business decision. And I think it's to placate the right who criticize it. Because if you look at the two statements, suspending or firing, if you wanted to, for when she calls the leader of the free world, if you still think he is, a racist or a bigot, I certainly get it. I wouldn't have this conversation, well, they're wrong. No, I get it. You don't want her representing you. You don't want her attacking the president of the United States, whether you agree with his politics or not, in that way. This is all about business.
Yeah. Oh, and biting the hand that feeds you.
Yeah. Do you agree?
Yeah, but I also think they didn't suspend her the first time around because basically she's an African-American woman, and they would, oh, you're being racist, you suspended her. Oh, I'm sure if she was white, she would have kept a job, you know.
It's possible.
So I think
there's something to that.
I think that's what they were doing.
But you
as
also
well.
Have to remember, controversy draws eyes and ears. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Opinions draw eyes and ears. So, you know, this is, no, for lack of a better term. So they're going to whitewash all their on-air personalities? She rose to the top by being controversial and being outspoken.
Right.
So now you're going – and you rode her to the top. You gave her SportsCenter after she had a podcast on your platform.
Okay.
And now you're going to take that away? I say it's hypocritical. We'll be back. We're back. You're listening to Davin's Den. So Pew Research has a new study which shows the perception of the news by people in regards to stories about a president. Researchers categorized 21 news outlets into three groups by the political makeup of their audiences. Outlets whose audience, as measured using Pew Research Center surveys, consists of two-thirds more members who are right of center politically than left, two-thirds who are more left of center than right, and outlets with a more evenly distributed audience base. I would guess CNN would probably be the one in the middle. Fox would be the other one.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it would be stuff like that. Well, honestly, MSNBC is like putting more and more Republicans on.
Well, because they're trying to be a little bit more balanced. So.
And Fox is making a change with a more liberal bias.
Are they?
There's a little. You know,
I only
you
catch like
it.
Fox and Friends, which turns my stomach and Hannity. Where even Laura Ingraham the other night was like, "Yuck." So I haven't seen this. I did catch one show on Fox on Saturday, where I was a libertarian guy, I think from England, who I was really
You're
impressed.
You're starting to see a little bit more of it on Fox.
I was really impressed with that guy.
You're going to see they're going to be the new Fox.
But then they put on that Jesse Waters. I'm like, really? You couldn't find an open micer?
I don't know who that is.
Anyway, good. Yeah. Anyway, news stories about the Trump presidency were 5% positive for the left-leaning audiences, 6% positive for mixed audiences, and 31% positive for right-leaning audiences. Obama's coverage was viewed more positively than Clinton, Bush, and Trump. Clinton and Bush's coverage was perceived relatively close to each other. And I think with that, we would have, because it was probably over the term of the presidency, Clinton's probably went down with the Monica Lewinsky thing.
I'm sure.
Bush probably took a nosedive with the Iraq War and Katrina.
Yes.
He probably surged after 9/11and when we went into Afghanistan. I mean, the Bush president, and we also had a huge recession. The Bush presidency was very tumultuous.
Oh, my God, yeah.
With more highs and lows about how you felt about him.
Right.
As opposed to Clinton.
Well, especially when, we after 9/11, where we were dealing with a world changed in one day.
Yeah.
And we're dealing with stuff that we never did
before. And he was excellent after 9/11.
Yeah, he was.
He was excellent after 9/11. Then things went astray. But anyway, I don't want to get into that. But no, he definitely had some highs.
Yes.
President Bush. Anyway. Let's see. Trump's overall negative perception is 62% compared to Clinton at 28% and Bush at 28%. Obama's coverage was viewed as 20% negative. Obama's positive coverage was viewed as 42% positive compared to Trump's at 5% positive.
5% positive.
Now, I should add that this is Trump based on the first 100 days.
Okay.
And I'm assuming that Clinton, Bush, and Obama were over their entire terms, which were 8 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't really know how you can compare.
It's kind of apples and oranges, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if Trump. Yeah.
I also think going into the Trump presidency that nobody expected him to win.
I agree with that.
And right.
I think that it, for a lot of people on the left, it's a very hard thing to digest. In addition,
I would give you that the first couple of months. I would say a lot of people were in shock on the left the first couple of months.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think we've moved past that. Now, the first couple of months is in the 100 days.
Right. Now, yeah. to that is Trump's view on the press. So it's almost like, you know, a vendetta that the press has leashed on Trump due to Trump being so outspoken on the press. In addition,
they need each other, but they pretend they hate
each
other.
But also, yeah, in addition, is the way Trump is going. He's doing things, for better or for worse, that no sitting president has ever done before. He's also
agree with that.
He's
thank God we didn't have Twitter when during the Civil War. Like putting out his little tweets. And furthermore, Jefferson Davis, fat Jefferson Davis says.
But Lincoln, and you brought, but it would, and let me tell you something, it would have been like that because Lincoln.
Well, I don't know if it would have been. Obama had it, and he didn't tweet like that. But
the thing about it is that Lincoln's popularity was that low during that time. Also, he had a lot to say about his generals, about those who are around them. He caught that, you know, that much flack.
He did it on the back of a train, not in 140 characters or less.
I understand that, but that was Twitter. You
no,
know,
I agree.
It was a choo-choo
train. Trump is doing things differently. People are adjusting.
Now, also, he was out to shake both parties up, the Republican Party as well as the Democratic Party.
See, I would be happier if I thought that was the truth, but if you look at a lot of the policies he's pushed. I've been far right.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't a center right guy. He's pushing
far right
policy. So I don't think I think he's frustrated. I think at this point he's like, I'm going to tear it all down because I can't get anything done with these guys. I think he's frustrated with the right because the right has so many factions.
And what's also upsetting the right is when he went to Pelosi and he went to Schumer to try to do something on, you know, which is a good thing now. And also the way Trump is hated, Nancy Pelosi went in front of her constituency in, I believe it was San Francisco, to discuss what the meeting between Trump and Schumer and her, and got shouted down.
The far left nuts.
But the funny thing is, you can't get more far left than Nancy Pelosi.
Oh yes, you can.
Oh yeah,
but, yes, you can.
But all right, but let me tell you. But as far as that, she is very. I mean, obviously one of the most left leaning out there, and got shouted down for the simple thing that she went to meet with Trump to try to get something done. It just seems, you know, it just seems.
Here's the thing with Trump. Trump is his own worst enemy.
Oh, yeah.
And we've seen this before. Like, we saw this during the campaign. When Hillary stepped in it and the press was about to sink their fangs into Hillary, Trump would say, hold my hair. And then he would do something outlandish or stupid, and the president would go, oh, Trump just said something.
Yeah.
So he's his own worst enemy. He can't shut up.
Yeah.
He can't stop. He can't contain himself.
Right. It's like, leave it alone, let it pass. Nope.
And also, he got a VA bill signed, which is a good thing. Yeah, you know, we're supposed to help the veterans.
Right.
Other than that, there hasn't been a lot of news, whether you're pro-right or pro-left, that's been good to talk about.
But the thing about it is that there's a lot of things that went through. Just in an overview, in October, he got 11 things accomplished. In September, 23 things were accomplished.
What? Give me an example.
All right, example.
While talking into the microphone.
All right.
Please.
Well, first of all, in October, 63.1% participation rate in the.
All right. If we're going to go the economy, because I think that's where a lot of these things are going to be, because I saw one of the things you sent me. Here's the thing. The economy is doing well. We've been in a bull market since 2009. Mm-hmm. So the stock market's been. We've been gaining jobs for years.
Yeah.
But manufacturer confidence at a 20-year high. And I think that is due more to his policy or her agenda
confidence,
more than Obama is.
Well, listen, confidence is nice. It can spur the economy. I don't know if that's really an accomplishment.
It is.
It's fine.
It is in a sense for business projection, where you're going to be setting the goals. Every business has their agenda for the year where they want the company to go.
Right.
And if manufacturing.
I'm talking about policy. I'm talking about policy. There hasn't been. He's got the House. He's got the Senate.
Not necessarily people's feelings or.
I think it's policy. And they said that the news has really shifted with Trump from policy to character. And again, I think he's a big part of that. He can't speak on policy. He couldn't sell the health care bill because he didn't know the details. He can't go out there on the stump.
It's harder than he thought.
It is. But he can talk about other people's character, which gets us to talking about his character.
Right.
He can run down his opponents, which is how he got one of the main components, how he got elected. But when you run down people, when you run down other people, people are going to talk about you.
But I believe, think that's the cross he has to bear. Now, I believe that he's a results driven person. That's how you earn success in a business. Results driven.
But I think the result, and you're not going to like this, I think at this point the results are how he views it affects him, not for the country. I don't think he gets that the better the country does, the better he's going to look. I don't think he's a long range plan.
But I believe he is, and I believe that his idea, you try to get what you need to do, and I believe he's going to reach out to the left more, and it's going to upset the Republicans. He's already done it, and I think he's going to try to do it more, especially when he's trying to get the, you know.
Yeah, but if you want to get your tax thing done, the left isn't going to bite that. You need Bob Corker. You don't know that. So that's what I'm saying. I think he's trying to. I think he tries to win the moment instead of the long range picture. You don't have to like Bob Corker, but you need his vote. You don't have to like John McCain, but you need his vote. And if you do get a tax bill passed, and the country does do better, and our manufacturing increases, and there are more jobs. You get the win.
Yeah.
You get the win. So you don't have to fight that little battle with Corker or McCain. You just focus on the big thing. But all right. So, yeah, I think the coverage has been negative, but I don't think there's been a lot of positive stuff to cover. I think sometimes some of the outside media outlets focus, like, on what Melania's wearing. I think it's ridiculous.
Ugh.
But, you know, I think the coverage is more or less where it should be based on what we've been given. If things change and he passes a bunch of legislation and things start going well, you know, it's going to look pretty silly if the press is running him down and everybody's happy with the job.
Yes. Right. And that's, yes. And that's, you know,
we'll see what happens. We're not there yet. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. All right.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davinston.
Sometimes in life, when you set somebody free, they come back.
I'm sorry. I'll go away again.
Thank God. Somebody is back in our lives. Jane is back.
No! Are you kidding me?
Would I lie to you, Pip Helix?
Yes, you would.
Well, I would, but not about something. When I say good job at the end of the evening, sure.
Yeah. Only about stuff that would hurt your feelings, but no.
True.
No, she is back. So, I guess we should delve into this.
Yes.
Whoa, whoa. Always and forever.
Okay. Now, when our last contact with Jane was August 14th, when I told her I was doing whippets and frequenting the prostitute that looks like Meatloaf's daughter, Pearl.
Thank you for that update.
For some reason, the response was not as quick as I would have hoped for. After
you don't say.
September 22nd, 2017. Now, remember, she's supposed to be back because school ended months ago.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be back in the States.
Oh, okay.
Hello, sweetheart.
That was veterinary school.
Zoologist.
Zoology.
Yes. More exotic than that, Joe.
Gotcha.
Hello, sweetheart. I got arrested all this while because of the money I owe this school.
I got arrested.
I got arrested.
They arrested her.
Sure, it seems plausible.
Sure. Debtor's prison. Yeah.
I'm sorry, dear. I think you need to help me now and let me get out of here.
Okay.
I have the cops the excuse to help me talk to you, and I also said I gave the cops the excuse to help me talk to you, and I also said you'll get me the money within 2 days.
Because the cops are depending on you to get the money because she's been arrested. Oh, please.
September 25th, 2017. I go, that sounds awful. Tell me all about it, dear.
You waited. She's in jail. Well,
I'm not checking every day.
I know, but I mean, it's just like, nice boyfriend.
September 28th, I thought she was gone. September 28th, 2017. She writes, I owe the school $5,000.
Oh, wait a minute.
And now since I refused to pay them back at the given time, they arrested me. After spending weeks at the police station, then I decided to tell the officer about my king, who's going to help me out of this mess, who is at USA. Then he gave me his phone so that I can message you. I'm proud of you, dear. Please prove your love to me.
Hopefully he can help, Your Highness.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, so she was in the police station all this time? She's sitting in chairs waiting?
And I said, yes, a king will help for sure. And that's where we'll leave it.
Oh!
A little taste. We'll be back.
This is Davin's Den.
It's Davin's Den.
I know we're a bit tardy with this, but we've been off. So I guess Columbus Day is not getting celebrated in places that it used to be. Now people are celebrating, they've switched it to Indigenous People Day celebrations. When the holiday recognizes Native Americans instead of Christopher Columbus, advocates argue that Columbus represents the colonization of America, not the discovery. The United Nations did declare August 9th as International Day of the World's Indigenous Peoples in 1994. I don't even think that's in my little day planner book, and they have Secretary's Day in there.
I don't remember seeing that either.
I must have missed that. But some cities and states are going to step further by replacing Columbus Day entirely. Minnesota, Alaska, Vermont all celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day. I didn't know, instead of Columbus Day. I had no idea.
I didn't know that either. I like that.
South Dakota celebrates Native American Day, where everybody goes to the casino.
Yeah, but you know, in those areas,
they have a lot of Native Americans.
Well, Native Americans, also not that many Italians. You know, where Columbus to somebody of Italian descent is a very big, you know, very big thing.
Yeah.
What about that Little Italy in Nome?
Her out on that.
Really? I guess they sell Italian ices there.
You two work in tandem?
No, figure I go
down
with this ship.
Yeah, you're the band. We're the deck of the Titanic. You got your 15 stupid keyboards out.
Sinking.
Let me use this drill to stop the leak.
Hold on, maybe we can tie all those keyboards together and make a raft.
I guess that's a way to organize, get it?
Oh, God, organize.
You know what you did.
I know.
You know what you did.
Some of the big cities that made the switch include Los Angeles, Seattle, Minneapolis, Denver, Phoenix, and Austin, Texas. I've never considered Columbus Day an American holiday.
I think of it as an Italian.
Fourth of
holiday.
July. I don't even. The day off. I was like, why are we even off?
I always wondered about that too. I'm like, what did you discover? People were already here,
and the Vikings were here before them,
right? So it was like, you're a little late and a dollar short.
I think the Italians got jealous of all the Irish marching around on St. Patrick's Day.
That's what. Yes,
I think that's what that was.
Yeah, couldn't we come up with another?
Why are you laughing at that?
I'm not.
No.
And the Jews came with the Israeli day parade, but nobody cares about that.
Why are you laughing at that? That's probably what happened.
Yeah,
I'm
is.
I'm sure somebody could look up the history of the holiday, but it won't be on this show. I can tell you that much.
I know, but it's like, it's just so strange because why that guy?
Yeah.
How about Michelangelo Day or something? You know, like somebody who actually accomplished something without like killing people during it.
Columbus didn't kill people. Did he? No, I don't think he did. I mean, they came over here and killed people.
Yeah.
But I don't think Columbus killed the people.
No, I don't think.
No, Columbus did not kill the people. And also,
Joe was there. Stop that,
but
Chris.
But the Native Americans did, you know, attack and, you know, did scalp and so on and so
forth.
Well,
you're not exactly hospitable when people come over your house unannounced.
Which one of us has clean hands?
You gotta move your doilies all around, throw your pillows, show me the beach room and the city room and the woods room. No, you're yelling me to get out of your house. Oh, what do you want from the natives?
I did that.
You haven't invited me over either. I don't want to get scalped.
Well, I mean, which one of us hasn't killed or infected a bunch of people? Come on.
I try to do it once a week. I would not be upset if New York or the town where I live switched from Columbus Day to Indigenous Day. I don't care either way. I don't even think we need to have this day off.
As an Italian-American, it would bother me.
Why? Really?
Because it's an Italian heritage thing.
But as she pointed out, Michelangelo is certainly much more worthy of your pride and admiration than Columbus Day. He didn't even get get to the right place. He didn't get to where he was trying to go. He's another dumb Italian who couldn't find where he's going. Well, there a dime a dozen. I've seen you drive without a GPS. You're useless. You could be Christopher Columbus. He didn't even get to where he was trying to go.
Well, every week he finds
Point
Pleasant.
Them Indians because he thought he was an Indian. What a dumb paisan. Really? That's the guy? The Italian? How about Joe DiMaggio Day? DiMaggio was great. Everybody loves Joe D.
You should see how many
Sinatra
flex.
Day.
Sinatra.
There you go.
Yeah, we can. I'm fine with an Italian American Day. Of course, you have African American Day. All the white people are going to get upset and stay inside.
Oh my God!
No, but I mean, if you think it's really kind of silly.
It's strange.
Why
to
not
me.
Have a Leif Erikson Day?
It's a really...
have one.
Have them all.
Have one. You see all the celebration days they have.
But this one is actually a national holiday. That's the difference.
It's odd.
Yeah, I don't think the banks need to be closed
because Columbus is connecting for discovering the New World. That's why.
It was so new to him, he didn't know where he was.
Right. Didn't have GPS at the time, what can I tell you?
They had the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. You would think one of the captains on the three ships go, hey, this ain't India, boss, turn around.
No, because the boss said we're going this way. The world is flat. No, it's not.
I don't know. I don't care either way.
I prefer, of the two choices, I would prefer the Indigenous Peoples Day because, you know, I
do
think...
Do they need a day? Do they need it? I mean, does everybody need a day?
We need a day off.
No, we
Let's
don't.
Call it. Yes, we do. We need a day off, so we got to call
get
it
a
something.
Day off.
You don't get off for Columbus Day?
No, people call the day program. Oh, you're open? Yes, we believe the world is flat.
So, that explains some things.
And it needs plumbing.
See, he's a conservative. He won't even be progressive enough to think that the world's round. That's how
but
far
you
he goes
know, there's
back.
But you know, there's still people that believe the world is flat.
And we call them dotards.
I know.
I
here's a picture of the world. This is not
no,
just like anymore.
Fake news.
Fake news.
Here's a globe. Why do you suppose
I'll tell
it's
you what,
shape?
A wall's a lot easier to build if the world is flat.
You have to get that there's no curvature.
They're really wondering why we're celebrating Columbus.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't need to celebrate Indigenous people. I don't need to celebrate Christopher Columbus. We don't have a Barbara Streisand Day. I'm fine. I'm okay with it.
You are okay with
I'm
that?
Fine. Well, not everybody needs a special.
A Barbara Streisand. We all sing and have to look at our best profile.
Well, that sounds lovely.
Yeah. No, I as an Italian American, I feel that Columbus Day should stay put.
You need a day. You need a day to feel validated.
Italian heritage, yeah.
Well, why not make it an Italian Heritage Day?
Then make an Italian Heritage Day.
Right. That would be fine.
That's fine.
As long as it's called Italian Heritage Day, that's fine with me.
Either way, you're working the day program, so what do you care?
I don't care. As long as I know it's Italian Heritage, you know, I'm working on
Italian
Heritage Day.
How about America Day? We're all freaking Americans. Enough with the things in front. We're all Americans. Enough with this crap.
No, we were all from different parts of the world.
And you want them all to conform to your version of America, so let's just have America Day, where we all celebrate that we're here and we love America.
Isn't that 4th of
it's
July?
No, that's Independence
July.
Day.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing.
No, it's not the same
thing.
Yes,
it's the same
let's
thing.
Just have Kumbaya America Day, all right? Enough with our stupid days. Go to work.
No.
Kumbaya America Day.
Sure, like why not? It rhymes. Yeah. A Kumbaya America Day mattress sale. It sounds lovely. You jump up and down on a mattress and you hold hands. It sounds delightful, Joseph. All right. That's enough of this nonsense. Pip, anything?
No.
Joe, anything?
No.
Perfect. We're the happy group we are.
No.
Non-working group.
Where am I going to be? I'm going to be somewhere. Yes. Saturday, October 20th. I'll edit that out.
I don't know where I am.
That you're perplexed that you're working.
More or less. Saturday, October 21st, I'll be in Sterling, New Jersey at the First Presbyterian Church. Hey, if I survive the Vatican without burning on fire, I'll survive the First Presbyterian Church.
Uh-oh. First lightning strike in years.
Yes. Follow us on Twitter, @DavinsDen. Like us on Facebook, Davin's Den. Thank you. Check us out. Check out the full show, unedited, davinsden.com. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.